interesting at Civ, and it's actually a little bit autobiographical. So let's first see what he says, and then we'll see the autobiographical part. Very, very fascinating. Come, Reuben. When we see Yosef's successful attempt, or success at translating and deciphering Pyro's dreams, and it's contrasted with the Khartoumim who utterly fail, and Chazal amplified their failures, they came up with cockamamie ideas, that you have seven daughters and they'll all die in 7 years. And so we think that this is the Torah contrasting two systems. Can you hear me? The system of ancient black magic, which Am Yisrael's presence in Mitzrayim is meant to debunk. Part of the march of monotheism is that we're trying to repudiate these worlds of black magic and sorcery, and that's why the Khartoumim will be debased in Shmos. The Khartoumim, when Moshe comes, he tries to mock them. Remember which Makkah, this is getting a little ahead of ourselves, but which Makkah was a direct scorning and mocking of the Khartoumim, of the 10 Makkos? What? No. Shchin. Because the Khartoumim tried to, it was a magic show that Moshe was a better magician than they were. It's the language of the Pasuk in Shchin. So part of Am Yisrael's presence in Mitzrayim is to send a message to the world about the stupidity of black magic and sorcery, and the superiority of Ruach HaKodesh, because Yosef has Ruach HaKodesh and he has a direct line to Hashem. And one of the tenets of monotheism is that Hashem speaks to man. Has Hashem speak to man, primarily through Nevuah, but also by delivering Ruach HaKodesh and ability to decipher dreams. So that's in our mind, in the beginning of Miketz, Yosef's success, the Khartoumim's failure, two different systems. The Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is demonstrating the failure of black magic. And the Tziv has a fascinating, fascinating view. It's based on a Medrash. The Medrash mocks the Khartoumim and celebrates Yosef. How does it do that? By quoting a Pasuk from Mishlei. So now listen to the Pasuk in Mishlei about, the terribly failed Khartoumim versus successful Yosef. Bikesh letz chachma vi'ayim. A letz is a morally inferior person. Someone that's a cynic, someone that's lazy, so it's someone that we call it leitzanus. So it could be people that's either lazy, sarcastic, morally flawed. Bikesh letz chachma v'ayin. A letz will look for chachma and he won't find it. V'das l'navon nakel. But for someone who's smart, getting the right answer is easy. Das l'navon nakel. So wait a second. This is a whole different contrast between. I may be reading the Nekudos wrong. I'm not an expert in Mishlei, so maybe Nakal. This is a whole different contrast. That the Khartoumim were intellectually inferior, and Yosef was a Navon. Yosef was a smart person. Yosef wasn't a Navon. Hashem told him. They weren't intellectually inferior. They were just using a system that was flawed. So the Netziv implies, and I'll tell you what his explanation is, that no, it wasn't the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and black magic. The failure of the Khartoumim was because they were intellectually lazy. And because they were intellectually lazy, they weren't able to crack this dream. And by implication, Yosef was successful in cracking the dream because he was intellectually rigorous. Because he was intellectually rigorous, it was easier for him to decode this dream. That's why they're called the Letz and he's called the Navon. Wasn't it different that Yosef had access to Ruach HaKodesh and they had access to some flawed system of black magic? They were leitzanim. They were morally flawed in their intellectual activities, and Yosef is much more rigorous and comprehensive. This is a fascinatingly different view of the two. Now, how was it possible, or how is it true that someone who's intellectually lazy has less of an opportunity to decipher the dream? So here's what the Netziv says. It's really interesting. The Netziv's premise is that this dream was pretty easy to decipher. Or certainly Yosef's deciphering was a lot more obvious than theirs. What was theirs in the Medrash? You're going to have seven daughters, they're all going to die, you're going to fight seven wars. Like, why are you going there? Why are you going to daughters and dying and wars? It's obvious. Cows, grain, Nile. What does that suggest to you? Something to do with food, famine, good years, plenty years, fat cows. Like, why all of a sudden are you translating cows to mean wars or daughters, and stalks of wheat to mean wars or daughters, like the other Khartoumim said, Just stay at home. Stay in Cleveland. Just talk about cows and food. Now here's the point. This is the thesis of the Netziv. It's really fascinating. Sometimes in life, the answers are obvious, but you overthink it, and you think it's deeper than it has to be. And when you overthink things and you move away from the obvious ideas, you develop things that are too abstract and too remote and too far from their source. That's why we're trying to train you in a sugya to remain grounded to the text and what do the Rishonim say. Sometimes you're a pilpul and your mind runs ahead of you and races ahead. And that was happening to the Chartumim. All of a sudden, it should have been obvious to them, but all of a sudden they start to think about ideas that were very concocted and very convoluted and very far from the obvious. And Yosef stayed at home, was much more grounded. Why is this true? He says, if you're intellectually rigorous, you're able to tell the difference between something which is very abstract and deep and beyond and something which is just obvious and grounded. And he doesn't say how. I wish he would tell us how. How does intellectual rigor lead us to the ability to differentiate between sometimes you have to think through things much more deeply and develop a new paradigm and develop a new concept, and sometimes it's just obvious and just say something that's much more obvious in plain sight. He doesn't say how. But because they had relied on black magic is an intellectually lazy experience. You don't try to think things through rationally and analyze them. You just hocus pocus, abracadabra, put the potion in, put the tail of the lizard in, swirl it around a little bit and feed it, and all of a sudden consult with the dead, you'll have your answer. Because of that intellectually lazy system, they weren't able to just see the obvious. Here there are facts in front of you, just analyze them, and it'll lead you to a more obvious translation. And the implication is that Yosef was not a letz, but true to the pasuk, he was a navon. Because he was intellectually rigorous, he was better able to differentiate between times that need real in-depth excavation, exploratory ideas, and just simply, now Reuven's in my share, so he can talk about this. Some of the things we say are obvious, but it takes us 45 minutes to make them obvious, because we just have to set the sugya up and organize them, and we'll talk about this, and it's just so obvious what we're saying. Like, you have to think through, just like, oh, it's staring you right in the face, and that's the goal of a sugya, to make it as simple as possible. I remember when I first got to Israel, so I didn't really have a job. I wasn't the Rebbe in Grush. I was a Kollel guy. And I was looking for some extra jobs on the side. So I went to interview in a very interesting yeshiva. I'm not going to obviously say which one. And they asked me to give a model lesson. Whichever model lesson it was a very, very difficult daf. I remember Nedarim daf Chafches, daf Lamed, I spent days trying to take a difficult sugya and make it simple and simplify a complex sugya. And I gave what I thought was a fantastic shir. And I didn't get the job. So I went over to the person, the director of the program, the yeshiva, and I said, just constructive input. Why didn't I get the job? Just let me know so I could try to improve myself as a teacher. So that person told me, you know what? That shiur was so easy, so obvious. Like, you made the ideas too simple. I just didn't understand. Like, some people want to walk out of a shiur, wow, that was so complex. I could never understand that on my own. I didn't even know what the rabbi was saying. He must be really, really smart. And sometimes, like, I guess to me, the perfect shiur is, you walk out of a shiur, wow, that was so obvious. He said nothing new. It's just because you take the text and the ideas and you organize them in a fashion that makes them obvious. So let me summarize what the Netziv says and then a little bit about who the Netziv was. The Netziv is differentiating between Yosef and the Chartumim, not based on two systems, prophecy versus black magic, but two different ways of intellectual activity. Lazy intellectual activity versus thorough, rigorous, hard work. The difference is when you're very lazy, you have a difficult time discerning when something's obvious. When you're intellectually rigorous, you can discern when something is obvious. It's based on the pasuk in Mishlei that the Braisa quotes, that they're called Leitzanim, Yosef's called the Navon. That's why he's better able to see that this dream was not about daughters and kings and wars, but about the famine and the Nile River, which was the source of all Egyptian fertility and food. Now, the Netziv, evidently, there's a famous formative story about the Netziv, that he was once in his room going to sleep and he heard his parents crying to one another. Oh, that Naftali, he'll never amount to anything. He's not smart. Poor Naftali. I hope Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. I hope Naftali one day will be a cobbler. Or maybe he'll make something of himself. He'll be a shoemaker and he'll have a healthy life. And then Tziv was so sad hearing this. He cried himself to sleep, the story goes, and he determined that he didn't become the Tziv. The lesson of the story is that Netziv was not this intellectual titan like we think about the Vilna Gaon or the Ragachava or people whose minds could crack the atom. He just worked and worked and worked. And so often you see the Netziv say something that's so different and so new and wow. just so obvious. Why didn't anyone else think about it before the Netziv? I have that every, like, almost one out of every four or five Netzivs I read. Oh, it's just so obvious. Because he outworked everyone. He was the hardest worker on the block. Now, what I would love to interview the Netziv about is, what about it? What about intellectual rigor makes things obvious? Because that's the goal, to understand Hashem's Torah, to be so obvious. To me, he doesn't say this, but to me, two things in my experience emerge. Number one is how hard you work and how many of the sources you put together. Like, if you're just looking at one source in Shas, how do I solve the answer? I don't know, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that. But all of a sudden, if you see all the Gemaras and all the Tosfos that have to do with that topic, that's why in our Shir, we start the Shir by just setting up the Gemara, then all of a sudden things talk to you. The Sugya talks to you in a way that you don't have to superimpose your ideas on a Sugya, but you're rigorous. So when you see a Tosfos and he quotes the Gemara, look up the Gemara. Spend 20 minutes understanding the Gemara. Look up, I remember when I was first starting to try to learn how to learn, every Gemara that a Rishon quoted, I closed the Rishon and looked up that Gemara for half an hour. So if the Ritva quoted a Gemara, it's very hard, because it's much easier just to blow by the Gemara and move on in the Ritva. I said, stop, read the Gemara, close the Gemara in Kedushin, open a Gemara in Gittin, and spend a half an hour learning the Gemara in Gittin with the Rishonim there. And now that I know the Gemara in Gittin, can I go back to Kedushin and see what Tosfos meant by referencing that Gemara? Okay, now that's maybe very intense. So then the whole Gemara in Gittin with the Rishonim. But most people, when you just read a Tosfos, oh yeah, this must be what the Gemara is saying if Tosfos is asking a question. That's not intellectual rigor. That's probably closer to the Netziv's hard work. Getting, I mean, sometimes he'll quote 15 sources together that no one ever put together because of similar words or similar themes. And then when you see all the sources together, yeah, of course it's true that's who Yaakov was. We just have to see Yaakov 15 times, and no one, and fewer people had the rigor and the intensity and the discipline just to read all those 15 psukim together. It's fascinating if you read a little bit of the Hamikdavar. Second of all, for me at least, it seems like not just how many sources you hunt down, but how hard you work at organizing. So much of intellectual activity is organizing all the pieces and what pieces relate, not just collecting the pieces, but before you think about a specific issue and how can I understand it better, just take all the other issues that it relates to and think about how they relate to each other, what's the most basic case, what's a case that's a little bit more convoluted, what's a case that's a little bit more adaptive and a little bit more. So there's so much. You can either take a problem and say, how am I going to solve this issue and think about it? Or you can work hard to collect all the relevant information, organize it in your mind well, see how things relate to one another, and then sometimes logic is just obvious to you. It's not just in Shas. It's true. Whatever professions you choose, especially if they're intellectually challenging professions, you'll see how much of life and how much of intellectual analysis is more rigor and organized thinking and mental discipline, and how little of it is the Einsteinian ability to crack the atom and discover the theory of relativity. I'm not a very smart person. I don't have like this IQ that's off the charts. And if you gave me this math problem and I solve it frontally, I won't be great at it. But I work really hard at organization. I work really hard at trying to look up information, compare, contrast, see the difference, classify, categorize. And that's what the Netziv is telling us. So much of intellectual success, and success in Torah being the ultimate success that we're striving for to understand Hashem's Torah, is in how hard you work at it and how smart you are. Okay? And that's autobiographical about the Netziv. Okay? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.